Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of April 8th. We'll start with some local news. Rantoul City Schools heading in a different direction with remote learning program beginning Monday. An online remote learning plan for pre-kindergarten through fifth grade has been scrapped by Rantoul City Schools during the stay-at-home break due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Instead, those students will learn from take-home lesson plans that will be customized to each student. Everything will be paper for pre-K through fifth grade, Superintendent Michelle Ramage said. Everybody thinks remote learning means Chromebooks and the internet. Our remote learning at this point will not include those devices and the internet for elementary students. There are a couple of reasons for the decision, including difficulty finding enough hotspots for those students whose homes are not internet equipped. We have the one-to-one devices, but we do not have the hotspots, Ramage said. So we shifted and spent all of our time preparing this remote learning in a paper format. She said not only are hotspots scarce, those that are available have skyrocketed in price. A hotspot is a physical location where people may obtain internet access, typically using Wi-Fi technology, via a wireless local area network using a router connected to an internet service provider. Another factor is not expecting young children who have limited exposure to the devices and the internet to use new equipment when many of them do not have a parent at home to help during the day. The higher up they are grade-wise, the more familiar they are with devices, Ramage said. Our elementary students, they use devices, but it is not as much a part of their daily learning. We also don't want to give out devices to students and say, let's do this online when they're not used to it. Even if there were enough hotspots and devices for all who needed them, Ramage said online work still wouldn't have been used in 100% of their learning. Junior high students, meanwhile, will have their choice of whether to learn online or on paper. All remote learning will begin Monday. Getting the remote learning program planned and ready to roll in just a few weeks has been a challenge. RCS isn't the only school district rolling out its program. It's been a lot of time and thought put into what we're providing, Ramage said. We have to consider special needs, bilingual, that some students have no adults at home during the day because their parents are working. And some students might not be around at all. Ramage said with Rantoul's transient population, many families use spring break as the time to move or to take extended breaks with family. We have put together a document. We have to have every bit of this translated to Spanish. There is a remote learning plan that must be posted online. It's to be used along with the packet of information they will get, she said. Ramage said just finding enough folders to put the remote learning packets in has been a problem. We needed 1,800 folders for the work packets, she said. We can't even find 1,100 folders. RCS got a jump on some districts by sending 2 weeks' worth of work home with students prior to them going on spring break, a break that coincided with the first week of the stay-at-home order. Ramage said parents shouldn't be under the impression their children will be spending as much time on their schoolwork at home as they would if they were at school. Using Illinois State Board of Education guidelines, time spent studying at home under the remote learning model should range from as few as 30 to 90 minutes a day for kindergartners to 60 to 120 minutes for third through fifth grades. The remote learning packets may be picked up from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Monday at J.W. Eater Junior High School when that week's meals are handed out. They will also be available that day from 5 to 7 p.m. at Eater. 3 weeks' worth of homework will be handed out at once. Ramage said most teachers are working remotely. In their packet, the teacher includes a letter that tells their office hours and the two-hour period they can be contacted. During the time the teachers are not doing office hours, they will be reaching out to those parents and students they haven't heard from. Rantoul Library offering temporary library cards. During the shutdown of Rantoul Public Library due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the library is offering temporary cards to Rantoul residents who do not already have a library card. This way, more people will be able to access the library's online resources, Library Director Holly Thompson said. If you wish to apply, please be patient as this process will take some time. The library can be contacted by phone at 217-893-3955 and leave a message with the machine, or email the library at rantoollib@gmail.com. Someone will try to respond to your message within a few days. The library will remain closed through April. Patrons should keep any library materials they have had checked out at home. The library will waive the overdue fees on all items returned within the first couple weeks after it reopens. Cardholders are encouraged to access the library online materials through the website rantoul.lib.il.us. All library cards with March or April expiration dates have been reset to expire in June so that people can continue to access our online materials. Trout season on hold at Lake of the Woods. Champaign County Forest Preserve District officials on Friday announced a postponement of trout fishing season's opening day, fulfilling a request from the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. They've been monitoring or seeing information that we put out there, and they were concerned that the amount of anglers that would show up Saturday would constitute a gathering, said Lisa Sprinkle, the Forest Preserve District's marketing coordinator. In mid-March, Governor J.B. Pritzker banned gatherings of 50 or more people in response to the coronavirus pandemic. On March 30th, President Donald Trump extended federal guidelines pertaining to the pandemic, including avoiding gatherings of 10 or more. The main lake at Lake of the Woods, that will remain closed until further notice, as we try and figure out a way so that we're not recreating the opening day, Sprinkle said. We can help develop a system so individuals can fish, but limit the numbers they have. General fishing is still as permitted at other Forest Preserve lakes, Homer Lake, Middle Fork River, and River Bend. None of those are stocked with trout, nearly 1,200 of which were put in the Lake of the Woods on March 24th. Other spots within the county also available for fishing include Elks Lake, Sunset Lake, Shadow Lake, and the Sangamon River. Fishing is one of the few outdoor activities that hasn't been completely locked down. Fishing at state-managed and state-owned locations, such as Kickapoo State Park's Clear Pond, another trout spot, was prohibited earlier this week by Illinois Department of Natural Resources officials, but city, county, federal, and private properties without any of their own restrictions can offer fishing opportunities. Still, being able to have that outdoor recreation piece and being able to get out into nature is definitely a bonus for people, Sprinkle said. And especially if they are fishermen. They're still getting out and being able to do something that they are very interested in. Fishing hasn't gone the way of golf, which briefly was allowed throughout the state during the pandemic, before being cut off and eventually banned through the end of April. The reason, according to Sprinkle, is fishing being more of a solitary venture. They don't do it in groups, Sprinkle said. You usually go out for fishing and you are by yourself. Golf obviously is different, with you go in a foursome most times. Even so, Forest Preserve District press releases over the last few weeks have included such lines as, please adhere to the social distancing guidelines and remain 6 feet away from the other anglers. I did notice on one of our Facebook posts that people were talking about, I hope nobody fishes until after the statewide ban is lifted, Sprinkle said. We definitely have been trying to watch and see that there aren't large groups of people fishing at the same time or on top of each other. We have several lakes or ponds that people can fish in, so there's plenty of room to go around. Coronavirus response, Pritzker. I've given up on adequate federal COVID-19 response. From Springfield. Governor J.B. Pritzker said Sunday he has given up on an adequate coronavirus response from the federal government and announced an expansion of emergency child care during his daily COVID-19 briefing Sunday in Chicago. At the same briefing, Dr. Ngozi Ezike, Illinois Department of Public Health Director, announced 899 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 along with 31 more deaths. That brings the total to 11,256 confirmed cases and 274 deaths from the virus in 71 of Illinois' 102 counties. Boone, Calhoun, and Gallatin counties are the latest to report cases, while the state reported the first deaths in Peoria and Montgomery counties on Sunday. Stateville Correctional Center in Crest Hill recorded its second inmate death from COVID-19. Ezike said the prisoner died at a local hospital and Stateville has 60 cases of COVID-19. As of Sunday, 58,983 people had been tested for the virus in Illinois, up by about 5,400 from Saturday. Pritzker's latest criticism of the federal response came when he was asked about an Associated Press story, which reported the U.S. government squandered nearly 2 months that could have been used to bolster the federal stockpile of medical supplies and equipment, critically needed to fight COVID-19. The AP's story reviewed documents which showed the feds waited until mid-March to start placing bulk orders of N95 masks, ventilators, and other necessary personal protective equipment for medical professionals, despite being briefed on the dangers of the virus as early as January. And so, the idea that the United States federal government did nearly nothing for quite a long time is now being visited upon us, Pritzker said. And I've said this over and over again, that if action had been taken earlier, a lot fewer lives would be lost. While Pritzker said nobody, or very few people, could have predicted how deadly the virus would be, the federal government had this information before the states did, and should have been out there exercising the Defense Production Act, acquiring PPE, acquiring ventilators. And then we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in today, where everybody is short of ventilators, he said, noting states are bidding against each other, foreign governments, and sometimes the federal government for supplies. He also responded to a claim in the AP article that the federal stockpile of emergency medical equipment is nearly drained. I'm very concerned, but you know, I've given up on the federal government, honestly, really showing up in a way that I think we all would have expected them to, he said. It's called the Federal Emergency Management Agency for a reason. That's a federal stockpile, a national stockpile for a reason. He said if states could handle emergency like the novel coronavirus pandemic, there would be no need for a federal emergency agency. When there's a major hurricane, think about Hurricane Katrina. It had to be the federal government that would step in. It was too big, Pritzker said. You don't think this coronavirus, this COVID-19, is too big for states? It is. That's why you have a federal government. While Pritzker praised federal workers such as the Army Corps of Engineers, the Department of Health and Human Services, and FEMA, he said his criticism was of the top decision makers who delayed the response to the pandemic. I am grateful for all of the help that we get from those federal employees who really work day and night to protect the people of Illinois, he said. And so my criticism has been the lateness of the policy decisions that have been made by the leaders, and therefore the lateness of any help that we would have gotten. Pritzker said another federal program, the Head Start program, has made it difficult for the child care providers funded by it to expand their services to emergency essential workers. The state is taking a different route with its child care program, which he announced at the news conference, an expansion of eligibility to child care funding assistance for essential workers and an increase in financial support for emergency child care centers and homes. Effective April 1st, the governor said, all essential workers now qualify for the state's child care assistance program, meaning the state will cover most, if not all, the cost of care for qualifying workers. That includes everyone from nurses and doctors to support staff in hospitals to grocery store workers and food producers, he said. Information on the assistance is available at coronavirus.illinois.gov and at dhs.illinois.gov/help is here. Also effective April 1st, the state will pay 30% above the usual reimbursement rates to emergency child care centers and homes. Pritzker said the state offered a new permit for child care centers serving essential workers, and more than 550 have received such a permit. He said more than 1,500 home child care providers continue to operate as well. Home child care providers do not need a permit and can serve up to 6 children. Information on the programs is available at the Governor's Office of Early Childhood Development website, www.illinois.gov/sites/OECD. Pritzker also reminded Illinoisans that children who can stay at home should stay home, and that the COVID-19 pandemic is not the time for arranging playdates or hanging out with friends. Also at the briefing, Ezekiel said about 30% of confirmed COVID-19 cases are in African Americans, and more information about the black death rate will be provided next week. We know all too well that there are general disparities in health outcomes that play along these racial lines, and the same may be true for this virus, she said. We have worked to ensure that all of our communities can access the health care they need. As COVID-19 spreads, and we will make sure that resources are directed where they are needed most. Ezekiel said that work will continue long after the pandemic, and Pritzker pointed out that Westlake Hospital in Melrose Park and Metro South Medical Center in Blue Island, both in the Chicago area, will be reopened during the pandemic. Those are two examples, anyway, of hospitals that are in communities of color, that are serving communities of color that were closed over the last year or two, that we want to make sure and reopen and provide health care for people, he said. Ezekiel also noted that while the Easter holiday and other religious days are upcoming, people should continue to worship remotely. As a person of faith, I know how important these days are, as well as other important days like birthdays and anniversaries, she said. Please know that you can still celebrate your faith and you can observe special days like today or like birthdays, but while at home. I urge faith leaders to continue hosting services online. We need and want everyone to stay home. Kindness catching in Potomac area. A contagion of kindness has continued in community during this difficult and trying time. Last week it was reported that Tim Reardon of Lola's Bar and Grill received notice from an anonymous man that he intended to purchase 30 spaghetti dinners for the first 30 patrons, and the same sentiment was continued by another couple this week who also purchased 30 spaghetti dinners. Two retired teachers, Janet Fultz of Penfield and Vicki Johnson of Potomac, have been making masks for Fultz Deese, a psychiatrist in Gainesville, Florida, and have sent some to Champaign as well. Mason McMasters, a junior at Armstrong Township High School, has learned the art of sewing and has also been making masks. It has not been determined as of yet where they will be sent. Jennifer Snyder of rural Potomac said her country neighbor, Joanne Swires, has been uplifting the spirits of residents on their road with a Saturday treat and a cheerful note. Chocolate chip cookies, caramel corn, and cupcakes were among the goodies delivered. Both Potomac and Armstrong Ellis grade schools will continue to offer meals to any student in need every Monday until further notice. There is a mailbox mounted by the school doors at Armstrong for students to submit completed homework. Although it may be a given, the following have reported cancellations or postponements. All track practices and meets for Potomac and Armstrong grade schools have been canceled, as well as all scholastic bowl matches, including county, for April. The Village of Potomac will be rescheduling its yard sales and cleanup day, originally planned for April 25th and May 2nd, respectively. The book club's discussions of both Fahrenheit 451 and The Unorthodox have been postponed until further notice. The Middle Fork Cedars and Weeders Garden Club has extended the deadline for engraved brick orders until April 17th, since the factory that makes them is closed for the time being. Anyone who is still interested or with questions is encouraged to contact either Elizabeth Osborne at 987-6457, Potomac Public Library phone number. It is closed to the public, but she is still there working. Or Angie Walsh at jawalsh76@yahoo.com. The group must have at least 100 paid orders for this second order to go through. These bricks will be installed on the west side of the garden path. If the goal is not reached, those who have ordered and paid will receive a refund. Proceeds from the sale will be used for further community beautification projects. Today begins a series of interviews conducted through email, focusing on our community members, some of whom are in unique circumstances, and how the coronavirus has affected their daily lives. Clarenda McCarty of Potomac is a mother to Evan, Cooper, Addison, and Kenley, fiancée of Travis Taylor, a healthcare worker and a teacher at Potomac Grade School. As a kindergarten teacher and a mom of four, cold and flu season is always a time of year where I become more cautious. With having a fiancée who is a healthcare worker as well, hand washing, sanitizing, and changing clothes once we get home from work was just one of the regular things we did to help stop the spread of viruses and to help keep our family safe and healthy, McCarty said. However, 3 years ago, when her youngest daughter was born with a congenital heart defect and had open-heart surgery at a week old during the peak of cold and flu season, she said their normal actions to combat the viruses got ramped up when she learned of social distancing to help keep the child safe. In spite of all this, she said nothing prepared them for a world pandemic. She fears the exposure Taylor faces on a daily basis, even knowing that his place of employment is doing everything possible to keep them safe. There is always the chance that if he is exposed, he will be quarantined away from the family. Her oldest, Evan, is a high school senior, and son Cooper is in eighth grade. Her heart was heavy as she explained to them early on that the chance of all the normal rites of passage associated with their milestones would most likely be postponed if not canceled. Then there was her class. No one teaches you in college how to explain to kindergartners why you can't hug them or hold their hand or explain to them what a pandemic is, McCarty said. How to explain to them we are going to spring break early and how to go to some websites that have some fun work on it to prepare for what you know is going to happen. My heart broke the day that I told them goodbye on March 16th. She credits her work family of teachers for stepping up through cooperative efforts and communication to make sure each student has what they need during this time. Through it all, she is grateful for children who understand the responsibility of keeping healthy, a support group of parents with conditions similar to her daughter Kenley, her school family, and a supportive fiancé who goes to work every day helping others and comes home, making sure they are loved and cared for. Thought for the week. A hero is an ordinary individual who finds the strength to persevere and endure in spite of overwhelming obstacles. Christopher Reeve. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Helen Creighton, 97, of Armstrong, died March 30th at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Due to the current health concerns, private family services will be held with a celebration of life service at a later date. Burial will be in Partlow Cemetery. Mrs. Creighton was a member of the Middle Fork United Methodist Church, and memorials may be made to her church. Condolences may be posted on her memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. Jerry Logue, 73, of Thomasboro, passed the evening of April 1st at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. There are no services scheduled at this time. The family has entrusted Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Champaign with arrangements. Please join Jerry's family in sharing memories, photos, and videos on his tribute wall at sunsetfuneralhome.com. James Logan Jr., 70, of Danville, brother of a Rantoul resident, died April 4th at North Logan Manor Nursing Home, Danville. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, April 10th at Renner Wyckoff Chapel in Urbana. Condolences may be offered at renner-wyckoffchapel.com. William Bill Williams, 70, of Rantoul, died April 4th at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Memorial services will be held at a later date. Renner Wyckoff Chapel, 1900 South Philo Road, Urbana, is in charge of arrangements. Memorial contributions may be made to the family. Condolences may be offered at renner-wyckoffchapel.com. Rosita Miller, 53, of Paxton, died Saturday, April 4th at Accolade Healthcare Paxton. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rorvet Funeral Services, Tilton. Ruth McConnell Short, 95, of Fisher, died March 26th. A graveside memorial is being planned for a future date. Amber Glenn Alzheimer's Special Care Center was her home for the last few weeks of her life. Memories of Mrs. Short may be posted on her memories wall at lamyoungfh.com. The Reverend Dr. Phineas Bush, 85, of Champaign, organizer of a Rantoul church, died March 28th. A public visitation will be held from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Friday, April 10th at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, Bloomington. And the service to follow will be private. Memorial cards may be sent to 1708 Whitmer Court, Bloomington, Illinois, 61704. Helen M. Rourke, 95, of St. Joseph, died April 7th at Country Health Rehab Giffard. Due to the virus, no public funeral service will be held at this time. Private burial will be in Grandview Memorial Gardens, Champaign. Memorials may be made to Carl Hospice, 1813 West Kirby Avenue, Champaign, Illinois, 61821, or Country Health and Rehab, 2304 County Road 3000 North, Gifford, Illinois, 61847. Condolences may also be offered at renner-wyckoffchapel.com. And now from Ian Wang, The Art of Reading Books. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the whole country is under the stay-at-home order. In obeying the order, I have kept myself at home for social distancing. In such an unusual circumstance, there are two things I found most suitable to do: reviewing life and reading books. Due to history reasons, after I went to a primary school for only 1.5 years in China, my birthplace country, began a political movement called the Cultural Revolution for 10.5 years. Therefore, I never had the opportunity to go to middle and high schools. Apart from the 1.5 years studying at a local primary school, most of my school education was at home and in the real world. After the Cultural Revolution, I was admitted to study public health at a medical college. I recall and share with my readers these most influential stories in my life on reading books. Even today, I still remember vividly what my father taught me about choosing books to read when I was a kid. When you read a bad book, it will more likely get you and have a bad influence on you. But when you read a good book, even a world-famous book, if it can't move you, if you can't learn from it, it is not a good book, or say a useful book for you, because it did not make any impact on you. The second experience was when I studied at Oxford University in England. I remember that at the opening ceremony of the new school year, the vice president of Oxford University spoke about Oxford being a place where all kinds of talent, elite individuals and celebrities from all over the world. Therefore, he encouraged new students to take advantage of this unique learning environment. He warned everyone what they would learn in classrooms might be a very small part of what Oxford can offer, and 90% could be learned in a large social class of Oxford as a whole. His speech fundamentally guided my study and lifestyle in Oxford. I became socially and culturally active in my student life. This lifestyle, coupled with the fully open curriculum of Oxford University, was open to students of any major. Its unique tutorial system provided students with a comprehensive, interdisciplinary, and personal teaching learning method. At Oxford, apart from choosing major courses independently, students will have a one-on-one personal supervision with their tutor on a weekly basis. Usually the tutor will give a small essay title in advance and provide a recommended reading list. There are 3 semesters per academic year, 10 weeks per semester. In the first week of the semester, you meet your tutor, supervisor, and receive a reading list and essay topic. In the whole academic year, a student should write 27 small essay presentations and debate with the supervisor 27 times. The third most influential teaching I learned was when I came to U of I, in which I read the entire speech Dr. Wu Ting-Fang, then the Chinese Minister of Foreign Affairs Special Ambassador to the United States, gave to a national conference of the Chinese Students' Alliance in America, 1908. Wu pointed out, "Morality without ability is homely simplicity, but ability without morality is rascality." Wu's speech on reading and being a real man was so profound. I don't know how many students who were listening at the conference were influenced, but a century after the speech, I saw an archive letter in C.C. Wang's family treasure box. He was the president.